down. Sit back, sit back, and listen to the sounds as we talk about what's going on around town. And don't get caught to the cause I might get caught. Roll call, what's happening around your town? Coming through the city, guys, and live in town.
All my friends here doesn't even show up. Where we party all night. But don't be afraid to let it all out. We're
Angelique. That's me. Hey, what's up? It's your girl, Angelique Bass, and you're listening to Truth Hurts, brought to you by Culture Thing Radio and the Evening Showdown with Troy DaVinci and Keenan Chapman. And we have a dope show for you today. Learn how to never pay traffic tickets again with Ticket Coach. And I'm going to go ahead and bring them on after we drop that intro.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yo, yo.
We're back.
What's up, family? We'll see
back
you
on.
That was that. And we back.
Yeah.
Back in the
so definitely today we have a special guest. This is a friend of mine and also a coach that taught me how to fight traffic tickets. I met him from another friend. Her name is Lisa. And he's pretty much part of the old culture in the 90s and how they was the revolutionary culture back then when the Good Life was around on Crenshaw and that whole, like, radical movement, what they were doing. So he was a part of all that. And so he definitely has a spot on Crenshaw where he teaches this stuff at. He'll tell you all about that. But any type of tickets, when it comes, he teaches that, and I took his class. I got a certificate. I graduated out of there. So it does work, and but you have to have the webbles, the balls for this. This is not for some. This is not a something where you're gonna have him go for you. He's not a lawyer, so you got to make sure that you know that you'll be going. It's called pro per, and you're going as yourself going into fighting the law as yourself. Pro se is like someone else coming and helping you. That's not a lawyer. But they removed that, so you can't do pro se. You only can do pro per. And he teach you how to go in pro per and start doing the stuff like that. So shortly he'll be hopefully on and et cetera. But yeah, I learned traffic about probably two, three years ago with him. And he showed me some stuff. I couldn't believe it. A lot of stuff I learned in the beginning was kind of crazy when I found out what happened and how he showed me all this stuff about how they've been bamboozling us for this traffic stuff for years. And after I learned this stuff, I pick my battles. I don't fight every ticket. The best thing is not to go to court, just try to drive safe. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But at times, it's kind of like insurance, having this knowledge in case you need to fight it or you're out of time and or you're out of, what I should say, strikes where you can't pay for traffic school and it's going to be on your record. Then you're going to have to fight it. So from that, it kind of spawned me on to learning other things from that aspect. So, yeah, he'll be coming on to the show shortly to explain, you know, what he's doing and everything like that. Keenan, you up there, man? You there?
I'm right here, sir.
So I know he probably could have used him a few years back when I was dealing with traffic tickets. I haven't had one in a while, thank God. But, you know, I paid it already. But, you know, I'll ask him how I could have kept from paying and then kept my money.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember you had some other ticket, too, you was asking me about not too long ago.
Oh, the meter ticket. Yeah, I got a meter ticket. I was actually trying to get across the street. You know, I had my kids with me and I was trying to get across the street and I actually got the guy's attention like before he even started, you know, writing up anything, and he was just being a douche And decided he wanted to still write me up anyway. Gave me a ticket. Because, you know, they get bonuses for that. So that's how they make their money. It's like a quota that they have. A lot of people don't even realize that, but it's a quota that they have. And if certain people get more quotas than others, you know, those quotas go towards trips and stuff. Because I used to know someone when I was back in the day when I was younger. Her dad used to, he probably is, was a traffic officer. And when we get out of school, we used to go over there and wait for him to get off work so he could take us home.
I'm saying my issue over here has always been parking tickets. I've been living here for 3 years. I live in downtown LA, so if you already know with downtown, parking is crazy.
We don't have a
garage over here, a parking garage. So everything is on the street, and I stay by a high school. So the parking situation in the morning and then after school hours and all that, it's crazy, and people constantly stay getting tickets. And that's why right now I'm not driving. My license was suspended a long time ago because of some unpaid parking tickets. And because of the parking situation over here, I've gotten comfortable with not having that vehicle. But at the same time, you know, I need to clear up my issues like with the ASAP. So I'm a student like everybody else on here. I want to, you know, definitely pick up my knowledge on how to avoid these tickets or how to avoid, you know, the fines, the trumped up fees that they got out here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He can definitely explain that. He also has also some about child support on how to get that under control with the legal system. And
right, because they're taking licenses because of unpaid child support and all that, right?
Yeah, so I think he might be on now. So, Angelique, you want to see if he's on?
Okay, let's go with him and see who it is. Hello, hello, you are live on the air.
How are you
hello,
guys today?
The ticket coach? Hi.
What's going on, Joshua?
Peace, brother. All right, brother, peace.
Peace, peace to everybody in the studio.
Gotcha.
So basically, I was just giving them a little bit of your background in the beginning. You want to elaborate on who you are, how you got started, and everything?
Well, as you guys said, I'm the ticket coach. Basically, what I do is I coach people, train people on how to fight their own traffic tickets and stuff like that and get them dismissed. Been doing it for about 6 years now, roughly. Personally, back in 99, had a few of my own personal issues, learned a few things, and kind of got fed up with the whole ticket thing, because I just always felt like it was a big ripoff. I always felt like it was just something more to this situation called tickets that most people didn't know, and then got lucky and found some good information. Took that information and built on that in libraries, created some documents. They all got all my tickets dismissed. And, of course, once you do that, a lot of your friends and family want to see if you can help them. Did that, help them out. And from there, it's just been on ever since.
Right.
Nice.
Okay. So, tell them how the whole structure of the ticket stuff works and the basic stuff of how you do this and what you're offering people with the knowledge.
The basic structure to how our
organization the whole system works. Yeah, how everything works. Explain to them, like, because some people probably don't believe that this can actually be done. So they're hearing you like, okay, how do you do this? What are you doing? How can this be done? So can you explain and elaborate on that?
How much time do we have? We have like a couple of days?
You got an hour.
shrink wrap it a little bit. Basically, the thing is this. Tickets are not necessarily real. People make them real. and tickets are strictly contractual. So, in other words, I always say this, envision this. Has anybody in the studio ever had a ticket and went to court for a ticket?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, when you went to court, was there anybody there besides the judge there? Just a quick question.
Yes.
Yes.
Who was there besides the judge and you?
The others in there for the charges or officials?
The officer?
Yeah. No. I mean, like, in your case, like, was there a plaintiff, someone, was there somebody there complaining against you saying that?
I had the officer.
He only comes to the trial, and the officer is not the plaintiff. He's just there as a witness in his testimony, right?
Right. Nobody there.
If there's a witness, there must be a victim. In other words, what did the officer witness, and how did you commit a crime, or who did you injure in committing the crime?
Right?
So, if you go to arraignment court the first day, which is the first day you see the judge, and you go to court, and it's like probably 100 other people in there with you, right?
Right.
And the judge calls you up to the front, and he asks you, how do you plead? He's asking you, how do you plead, but he's not, there's no one there alleging any charges against you. It's just a judge with no plaintiff. Now, a judge's position in any case is to be the unbiased party in a situation. He is not allowed to have a personal, emotional opinion about this case whatsoever, because his job is to uphold the law, number one, and then to give both parties an unbiased judgment based and according to the law.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all following me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So,
are y'all really following him? Because he can slow down. This is vital.
No, I'm on.
Okay.
All right. So, the reason why there's no one to the right or left of you in this case is because there's no injured party. And this is the reason why they always ask you, how do you plead? Because they need you to admit guilt of some sort. And not guilty plea is the same thing as a guilty plea. You're admitting doing something. Something happened on that day. So they need you to play the game with them in order to prosecute. Now, here's the deal. If you ever watch it, I always give this analogy. Law and Order, the TV show, is probably the best analogy I always ever give everybody. It's like when you watch Law and Order, you always have a victim in that TV show. Someone's murdered, someone's hurt in the beginning, and then the police officers do the investigation, and for the end of the show, they wind up in court with a victim and a prosecutor.
Hmm.
Y'all follow me?
Right.
Yeah.
So, in traffic tickets, it's the same thing. The law is the law. It does not change just because it's a traffic ticket. You should not be in anybody's court if you have not harmed anybody. It's just mathematics. So, in other words, when you got a ticket, ask yourself this major question. Who did you actually injure?
Okay.
Who did you injure?
It's a little bit hard there. Who did you actually injure that ticket?
That's a question, y'all. Who did y'all injure when y'all got a ticket?
Nobody.
Yes, I didn't injure anyone.
Okay. And I never did injure nobody.
No one ever injures anyone. This is why when I began, I said, you guys have to make it real. So, no one ever injures anyone in a traffic ticket. I mean, unless it's like, you know, an accident situation that has taken place and you actually hit someone's car, stuff like that, and damaged their stuff, then yeah, of course. But in a regular traffic ticket situation, no one has injured anybody. So that is the reason why when you get to court, there's no one there but you and the judge.
Right.
Wow.
So there's a pecking order to this. You have an injured party. It's like four steps to this whole thing. You have an injured party. You have a complaint that's filed by the injured party. And then you have jurisdiction being established by the injured party and its legal representation.
Hold on, Joshua. Let me make sure everybody knows. Anybody listening, if you're listening right now, press 1 to put yourself in the queue so you can ask a question. All right, press one, leave yourself in the queue. All right, go ahead, Joshua. I just wanted to make that clear.
All right, so let me start over. There's a four-step process to anybody being prosecuted. Before you find yourself before a judge, they have to do four things have to be established. You have to have an injured party. The injured party is the person that you damaged, okay? The damaged person has to file a complaint. Not a ticket, but a complaint, okay? A ticket is written by a witness. They just saw something and they wrote a report, and that's submitted to the court, but it's not a verified complaint because a verified complaint only a complaint only comes from the injured party. So, let me moonwalk for a second. You got the injured party, you got the complaint being filed, and then you have what they call verification of a complaint. If anybody's ever heard of a DA reject, at that point is where they reject the case because the DA could not find enough evidence in the complaint to convict the defendant. So it's rejected. So the complaint was filed by a plaintiff and it was then verified. When they got to the verification process, they could not get them. But the key point to this is that you have to go through that verification process.
Mm-hmm.
So once it gets verified, if they find enough information, then they actually file the complaint with the court, and that filing of the complaint gives the court jurisdiction to issue a warrant for your arrest or even try you in a case. So you guys all told me that you didn't injure anybody when you got a ticket, right?
Right.
Nope.
So if you didn't injure anybody when you got a ticket, then let's follow the steps again. Who filed a complaint then?
Nobody.
Sure. Right.
If no one filed a complaint, then who verified the mystery complaint? Nobody, because there's nothing to verify. It wasn't filed. And if they didn't verify anything, then guess what? They have no right to try you. So, therefore, that's why they have to ask you and make you or try to force you. If you ever go to court, you watch how forceful they are into making you plead.
Right.
And that's the reason why, because they need you to open the door to for the game to start.
Wow.
So what's the correct dialogue to have in that situation? What's the question?
Right.
Comes.
I'm not necessarily sure what you mean by that question. Like,
I think when he says is when they say, okay, how do you plea for this? What do you say? In that I'm not going to plea or no, or you don't have no jurisdiction. Like, what did he wants to know?
Oh. Okay.
What
okay.
do you say to this judge? Or this commissioner.
Okay, I get it. So, have you guys ever seen the TV show First 48?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
The dumbest TV show in the world, where everybody that gets on that show tell them themselves.
Right.
Right? So, that's what the courtroom is to me. It's like an interrogation room. So, if the judge is asking you to plead, and they have no plaintiff present complaining against you. They have not given you a copy of the verification because that's number one in your case. Like any case you have, they have to give you the verification of, a verified complaint because that is how you build your argument in defense. It's called
right.
discovery.
Right,
okay,
right.
If you get there and they're asking you how do you plead, you already know what the trick question is now, and you know that they don't have a complainant or plaintiff there. So the number one thing I always say is that I refuse. This is where you invoke your rights. They always tell you what your rights are. They even play videos. People just ignore the fact that the judge just told you have rights. So
right.
your Fifth Amendment, you ever heard of that phrase called, I plead the Fifth?
Right.
Yeah.
The simplest way to do it, if you don't have the knowledge and you haven't come to our traffic academy just yet and you don't have all the knowledge and details to this, the easiest way would be I plead the Fifth, meaning I'm not going to enter a plea because I don't want to incriminate myself. In other words, you have no plaintiff present. You have not given me my discovery. I have no idea what you're trying to do here, and I feel like anything I say can and will be used against me in a court of law. Or I choose not to enter a plea at this time until you guys furnish me with a plaintiff and a complaint.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I've been paying tickets. been
right.
I've been my thing is I've paid tickets, and then at the same time I've allowed the irritation of the system to keep me from going to court, which is what makes things worse. You know what I'm saying? Like I hate dealing with those systems, but in the end, you know, I've definitely taken an interest in the law and how I need to start, you know, paying a little more attention to the actual rules and what they have set up. Like, the law has been so pushed on us forcefully that's all we see is, you know, whatever they say goes, or how whatever question they ask, you know, has to be answered, or you might be taken away to jail. And it's been pushed in us so hard. So, you know, I appreciate the education of it. I would definitely come down and sign up. I need to, you know, sharpen my skills, or rather my knowledge of the system as a whole. And as far as when it comes down to a DA, I don't know if this would be in the same situation. Like, I had a situation that was not traffic related, but it was a DA reject, and money was paid on my end to the courts. Is that and I never looked back into that, ignorantly young. Is that something that I could have looked into? Is it a timing thing, or, you know, or is that even a whole separate conversation?
I'm not necessarily, I mean, I don't know exactly what the charges were and all that good stuff. Yes, things do have statute of limitations, but it all depends on what kind of case it was. Like, I don't know. Like, only thing that doesn't have a statute of limitation is murder or rape. So, other than that, I already know. You got to let me know the details. I know you don't want to put your business out on
well,
the
no, I wouldn't care, but you know what I mean? It was a situation with the police, and they were trying to say that I was overly aggressive, but they never could, and I ended up going into the precinct overnight.
It's a back feedback.
Can you, hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I ended up getting into a seven match with an aggressive officer, which ended up putting me in jail for a night or two. But when it came down to court, they didn't come out. It was a DA reject. And because there was plenty of witnesses there to, you know what I mean, defend my side of the story. So, and nothing happened, but I cashed out money to a lawyer the whole nine. Like, I bailed out all of that.
Wow.
All right. That was a traffic ticket?
No, it wasn't a traffic ticket. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't traffic ticket related. It was just a crime scene going on in my neighborhood, and I couldn't get past the line, of course. And I spoke to an officer, and he was just on some over-aggressive stuff and just ended up going somewhere else. But he never came to court. He never pressed a line on anything, you know what I mean? Whatever it was that they were charging me, which was supposed to be assault, but nothing happened. Like, nothing happened.
Yeah, that's, I have to definitely see what charges they put, because they always give you the answer to your question. And to answer your question or comment you said earlier, basically, most people don't go to court because of one thing, and that's usually the lack of knowledge.
Mm.
And that lack of knowledge feeds the fear of the unknown. And if you know what to do, you probably would go in there with the George Jefferson strut.
Right.
You know what I mean? But most people don't know what to do, so they run and hit the track. So bottom line is just to educate yourself. The stuff that I just told you, man, I've helped people with murder cases do this same thing.
Right.
With just that information I just gave you.
Right.
So
right.
It works in any aspect.
Let me ask you this, Joshua, on some other stuff. Now, the judge or the commissioner, do you have to rise when they come in the room? Because I haven't seen nothing that it's like they try to act like it's respecting. All rise, hell, yada, yada, coming in. Is there somewhere you have to rise, or is that what is that? Do you rise when you get up, show respect, or you don't want to play any of their games and jurisdictions?
I mean, it's kind of like where you got to learn to pick your battles. For me, like for me, I'd rather not let you see me come. So I probably wouldn't just sit down because I'm automatically going to be pinpointed by who is this dude not standing up. So when I walk up to you, he's already going to have something on his emotional side he want to get off his chest.
Okay.
That's definitely on my end. Just maintaining my composure, my nerves, and my irritation at a situation. It's really why I don't like going to, I get irritated, like, talking to people. So I need to definitely understand the dialogue and the knowledge behind everything.
So how, like, Josh, here now, when I went through the course and I made mistakes, and anytime you learn something new, that's like the hardest thing when you're on the first day of a job or if you learning something for the first time. You're going to, it's going to take you longer than you knowing it, of course. But where you at now in your level, how long does it take you from beginning to end to kind of beat a traffic ticket or dismiss it, I should say? Is it how many hours? Because a lot of people I hear complaints is, oh, I just rather pay it, man. That's too much work. So in your opinion, in your professional opinion, what is it now from beginning to end that you think you spend monetarily and time-wise on a ticket?
Man, fighting a ticket, and once you got the information, it's all about your heart at the end of the day to me. You really just have to be willing to not be scared. If you go through my class, and even in my class, I give people a script when they leave the class, because I already know that most people kind of like, you know, life gets in the way. They might not study as much as they used to. They coordinate maybe 2 months away from the last time they left class. So I give them kind of a guideline to go with. Even if you just follow my script that I give you and you don't let the judge scare you, that's the first problem, the fear of the judge. That's the first problem. Get over that fear and understand he's just a man or a woman just like you are doing a job. The fear goes away, especially once you know the truth. Like, the stuff that I teach is not my personal opinion. It's what comes out of the law book. So, like, for instance, some people might, a lot of people are afraid, like what the brother said earlier, like, you know, they might lock you up, put you in jail. But once you understand that you can't go to jail for a ticket, what are you scared of?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, you can't go to jail for a ticket.
I remember you were showing that in the class, and it says an infraction is not punishable by imprisonment, I believe it said.
Exactly.
And a ticket is an infraction. Now, if you miss your court date and you don't play their game, then they can add on to something to make it something. Now they can try to put you into a system of a jail like if you don't show up, and they put a misdemeanor on it or something. But for me, I remember going through this class, and I think the information that you showed me kind of even got me into finding the truth about religion and getting into my religion journey, because I was so astounded by how clever these bastards put it in the books, and it's like a riddle. Like, now I go back in Batman and watch Riddler. He's like, riddle be this. It's basically what law is. It's not going to be right in your face. This is how you beat us. You got to go to this. You got to learn what this means in order to go with this mean. You got to look with this word up. You got to look what bell is. You got to look with that. You got to do all this stuff and then collectively know what it all means and know how to use it.
Right.
Against them.
Exactly. Yeah, I wasn't going to go there. I don't like to have religious conversations too much. But
No, I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I was in your class, you would bring up some stuff, and I used to sit there like, what is this guy on? Why I never heard anybody say something like this? And I said, okay. Now, I'm not one to be like, that's not true. If I don't know it, I was like, well, let me look it up. Let me research it. And I come to find out, okay, this brother was right. And it was kind of like startling because I don't really have religious. I mean, people try to debate me on religion and law, but that's a very dangerous subject because I know what you don't know. You won't ever want to fight a ninja unless you are a ninja because you will get sliced, period.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But staying back on the traffic thing, now, where, like, Angelique, do you have any questions before I move on?
No, actually, I'm just sitting here, like, listening. You guys are kind of answered already, but real quick, if I see we have more callers, if you guys have any questions or any stories, make sure you press that one and ask Chick Coach anything.
Don't be scared. This is your time to talk to you. You know, shoot. Now, I remember, Joshua, when I went the first time with this knowledge into the court system, I ain't gonna lie, I was nervous as a motherfucker. I was like, because you showed me this wasn't your opinion. I saw it in the books, the law books. But
mm-hmm.
it's one thing to be like, okay, I saw this, but why ain't everybody doing this? And why I'm the only one doing this? And is it going to work? So
that's
I have those
question.
Little fears, man, about that. Now, why ain't everybody doing it? Some people said to me, man, then everybody, that's not true. Then how can they do this and that? You broke the law. Troy, you should pay for your ticket, one person told me.
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to try to give you the short, sweet answer. It's the same reason why somebody still celebrates Christmas and still think rabbits lay eggs on Easter. Why do you do that? long story short, or in the reverse, I'll give you a little backdrop to the whole ticket situation, I say the ticket situation in general. The ticket is nothing but a tax. It's like paying taxes. So this whole ticket situation and taxes in general, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, your income tax. I'm just talking about a tax, like a tax on, like, a gas tax, all that type of stuff. This stuff is all derivative of something called the Buck Act. If you want to look it up, you can Google it. It's called the Buck Act. It came out in 1930. It started in 1933, but they kind of finalized in 1939. But it came out of something that the Federal Reserve put in place beginning in 1918 when they took over the Federal Reserve Bank. And when they took over the Federal Reserve Bank, just think about this. When you watch Little House on the Prairie, there was no licenses. Nobody needed a license to do anything you wanted to do as far as live life. And when you say license, you got to be careful with that word because it has a deep meaning to it. License literally means, by law, it literally means that something you can now do with the license that before you would receive this license, you could not lawfully do. So think about, I didn't say driver license now, listen to, I didn't say drive, I said license in general. So think about the things that you need to have a license to do. Driver license, marriage license, hunting license, business license, fishing license. Are you paying attention to how they bottled up life itself and charged you for it?
Mm. Mm.
So in other words, I can't have a woman that I love to death. The woman of my dreams, I can't marry until Master says, yes, I can. You can have her, but you got to pay me this tax.
Mm.
That's crazy.
So in other words, something that is illegal, which should always be illegal, I would turn a blind eye if you give me money and I get you a license. And now what's now illegal, poof, now becomes legal for you out of thin
air.
They basically made life illegal. You know what I mean?
Right.
They basically made life illegal to where if you don't ask the man, nobody believes it's real. Like, if you had a woman in your dreams, Troy, and you guys decide not to be married, and she goes around her friends, hey, girl, y'all got married? You get your license? And she says no. You ain't legally married. What?
Mm.
All that matters is what you and your woman and what God saw. Now you put this state and this government in God's place.
Wow.
I think we need to spell out another segment.
So, but let me get you to the short, sweet answer to that what I was alluding to. Basically, 1918, I think it was President Roosevelt, he was put into place on purpose, and his job was to allow the Federal Reserve to be taken over by what they call now the IRS. The IRS took it over, and the IRS began to try to put new taxes in place, which means the taxes that most people pay today, like out of your check, when you get a check, your taxes are already taken from it before you even get it in your hands. That's unconstitutional and illegal according to the Constitution. But they were trying to implement that stuff back then. The country didn't like it. They bucked. So then the government created something called the Great Depression. And I say created it because they created the Great Depression just like they created 9/11. Usually they'll create some kind of frenzy of something to make the public panic. So they created the Great Depression. It lasted from 1933 through 39. Now, pay attention to the mathematics here. Remember I told you the Bulk Act began in 1933? How does it start and end at the same time the Great Depression starts and ends?
Think
about this. So it starts and then it ends in 39. When it ends, the Great Depression ends, the Buck Act had kicked into full fledged, which means people were starving, they were destitute, and they needed help from the government. So in order for you to get help from the government, you have to take on these new rules that were put in place, like license, like Social Security card, like a birth certificate. Okay?
Right.
So now from that point on, people start accepting it but not really accepting it. And then you see in the 50s how, you know, happy days where it's a cool thing to drive now. You need to get your license so you can have you can drive the car to Inspiration Point with the girl. It became a marketing and promotion campaign, just like Santa Claus for Christmas.
Right.
And then now generations after generations are doing the same thing. It's a normal thing to do now. So nobody really questions it, but nobody really actually goes and reads, say, hey, like, you know what does this license thing mean? Like, what is a driver? What does that actually mean? Break it down. Let me find a definition and see what it actually means by definition.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does that. They just keep going on and keep going on, like you keep going and buying gifts for Christmas, but don't wonder why nothing in the Bible says buy gifts for your kids on Christmas Day. Nothing says that nowhere. It's man-made.
Now, Josh, here, I have a question as far as how do you – we know the courtroom information, but what happens when you get pulled over? What do you say and not say? How do you get past that? Because a lot of black people are dying in just traffic stops now.
Yeah.
So what do you do? How do you talk to them? How should you move over and get this into the courtroom and get it out of the streetwise?
Boy, you're asking some really good questions today. You're asking some really good questions. My thing is this, man. I'm not a person for marches. I'm not a person for big eloquent speeches. Like, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I'm not a person for the Million Man March. I think it's useless. It's just as useless as you sitting there arguing with a police officer over what you think you know. So my thing has always been, don't fight on the street. You got to learn to pick your battle. Don't fight with these people on the street because you're not going to win. They don't even know what you think you know. They have no clue. Their whole job is to control you. That's all they want to do. So whatever you're telling them, they're not going to listen no way. So just take the process. Don't be a punk and let somebody demean you. Now, I'm not saying that either. But at the end of the day, it's just a traffic ticket. Why get in confrontation over a traffic ticket, over something he's not going to stop writing once he pulls his pen out? So if I get a ticket now, if somebody pulls me over, I don't even tell them. I don't even talk to them like that. I talk to them like I'm dumb as hell. Like, oh, yes, sir, thanks, I appreciate that. Okay, I'll sign this. When I go to court, he's in here for a whole different thing.
So what happened if he's trying to, like, all right, step out of the car? What do you, you know, asking you questions? Where are you going today? What are you doing? You just okay, telling him?
Oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that either. But, I mean, I'm going to ask him under arrest. And if he says no, then I'm going to lock my door and talk to you through this crack window. There's no reason for me to get out of my car unless I'm under arrest.
And if he's like, open, well, roll down your window, I want to talk to you, why is it cracked?
My question is, can you hear me? We're obviously having dialogue. You can hear me. First of all, I have a very good reason not to open my door. Y'all done killed too many people look like me in the last 4 or 5 years, so I'm terrified of you.
So look, I'm visual. So I see the cop pulling you over. He's walking kind of with his hand close to his gun, and he's itching over to look, and he said, how you doing today, sir? License and registration. Where are you going tonight? Like, that's kind of the ab, and so you already got your window cracked, or you have it open, you got your light on, or you smiling at him. How's your demeanor when you see this person,
right.
This cop? This.
I mean, it's for me, it's lights, camera, action. So it's like, when he walks up, it's, you know, the window's cracked, I'm not going to roll it down, my doors are locked. He comes up, he asks a question. If he asks me where I'm going, I'm like, that's personal information, sir. I don't want you to use that against me later, but what can I do for you?
Where are you going tonight?
That's personal information, sir. I don't want you to use that against me later on in the court of law. So,
do you know why I pulled you over?
I have no idea.
I was pulling you over because you were speeding. You have your license and registration?
Do you need that?
Yes, I need to know who you are. You have your license and registration, please.
Here you go.
Thank you. Okay, now, also, can you roll down your window for me?
Can you hear me right now?
I can hear you, but I like to roll down the window so you can understand what I'm saying to you.
Is there a law that requires me to roll my window down?
Oh, you're one of the smart guys, huh?
Well, I'm just asking you a simple question. Like, I'm just telling you, you can
No. You don't ask me questions. I ask you.
Well, first of all, you're not
you
my god on your parents. Okay, you're not my god on your parents. I'm going to treat you respectfully as long as you treat me respectfully. I'm a man just like you. And number one, I'm kind of terrified of you people that wear badges and guns and wear dressed in black suits because you shot many of people that look like me. So, therefore, I am terrified for my life.
Can you step out of the car for me, please?
Can you please call your sergeant for me, please?
No problem.
I'm scared of you at this point. Can you please call your sergeant?
Okay, so once they call the sergeant, then you're not stepping out for nothing unless they have probable cause on something.
Unless I'm under arrest. I have not done anything. If you pull me over for speeding, is that a jailable offense? No, it's not. So you're not pulling me over for some major crime. It's a ticket. So why am I going to sit out here and demean myself and sit on the curb for a ticket?
Y'all getting this information?
I'm listening.
This is one of the shows you're going to have to play back because it's not going to come in right now. I had to listen to this stuff over and over again for this to make sense. Then when I went into the courtroom, I had to play like I was Neo for the Matrix to stop my legs from shaking. I had to make up a whole character in my mind to fight this stuff. But the cool part is he told me everything that's going to happen. Where they going to sit me down because I was educating everyone else. They don't like that. And then I had to go into another courtroom by myself. And the judge is smiling like, because I know I fired the commissioner, and that's a whole other thing. When you go to his class, he'll show you all that and the difference between a commissioner and a judge. But I wanted to see a real judge. I filed a paperwork, which made me see a real judge, which is a 170. And the judge comes out of his chambers, and he's like, yo, what's up? Who called me for this? And the lady said, Troy Wooden has a traffic ticket here. He said, what? Like, he had this face like, I came out of the chambers for a traffic ticket? Ain't that the commissioner's job? So he's like, come to the front. What can I do for you, Mr. Wooden? I was like, hey, man, I just, you know, the jig is up. You know, we already know what time it is. You know, I told my spiel. And he said, well, is it you? Because it was a light ticket. And it clearly was me. I can't argue if it's me or not, but I don't want to argue facts. I'm trying to speak legalese. And I was like, no, I'm not speaking about that. You know, I ain't even supposed to be here. And then he's like, well, let's see if it's you. And he tried to look up my information on the computer, and he couldn't remember his password. And I remember I had to go to a seminar, and I was late. So I was like, all due respect, man, can we hurry this up? Because I got to go. I said that to him. He was like, oh, okay, well, motion denied on that, but your trial date is November, da-da-da-da. Go see the bail. Go pay the bail. And I'm like, I'm not paying a bail. And also, when you learn how bail works, you know that that's bamboozlement and hoodwinked at its finest. Now, that's another thing, Joshua, I wanted to touch on. They passed some new laws now in the courtroom where you don't have to pay a bail up front. Is that accurate? Is that legit? And how's that? And how do you train now and change your curriculum predicated on that type of stuff?
I mean, I heard something about it, but they still been asking certain people for it. But they ain't changed the law. That's been the law forever. That's how it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to pay a bail for a ticket.
So it's not like they changed something. It was already illegal to begin with if you paid a bail.
Exactly. I mean, that was like usually like for court or jurisdictions of like counties that did certain things. Certain counties do certain ways, but I mean, constitutionally and federally, you can't charge somebody for a bail amount for something. I mean, you got to think about it. I'm going to ask everybody another question. What is bail used for?
To get you out of jail?
Exactly. But so that what that means in reverse is that if I pay bail, guess what? I must be in jeopardy of going to jail. That's why they're asking me to pay so I don't have to go to jail. Now, if you can't go to jail, that means you're not in jeopardy of going to jail. Why are you paying bail?
Right. Okay.
Right? I mean, literally, the penal code, Google this if you're bored. Google penal code 19.6 and read the first sentence and see what it says. Infractions are not punishable by imprisonment.
19.6.
Infractions are not punishable by imprisonment. So if I can't go to jail for this infraction, then why are you requesting me to go see your clerk and pay the bail amount to get my court date? I have a constitutional right to a court date. It's called a right to a speedy trial.
Right.
Mm. Now, let me ask you, anybody that might be listening, they might be out of the state of California. Does this work anywhere else or only in California, the knowledge that you have?
Well, the knowledge that I have, you can use it anywhere. You can use it anywhere. It's just a matter of how you use it because different states have different code books and stuff. Everybody doesn't have a vehicle code like California does. But usually most people have states have a penal code, but it kind of depends on how your state works. I mean, the Constitution is countrywide, and all laws are supposed to be derivative of the Constitution or within the guidelines of the Constitution. So I would say, yeah. You got to know how your state works.
So the whole, let's talk about the foundation of the argument where they still need a plaintiff. That works in any state then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because in, the triangle, as you would call it.
Yeah, the triangle is in any courtroom. That's not ever going to change. It's always going to be the same thing.
Now, where is this spawned from? Is this Roman law? Is this Nietzsche? What is this? Greek? How did this come to this? How did America come to this particular type of jurisdiction of law?
How did America come to this type of law?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you mean. Say that one more time.
How do we get here with this law? Like, where did this law stuff come from? Is this from Romans? Is this from, where do we get to this? Is this from Europe?
Yeah,
of course. And why do we use this type of?
This is Roman dictatorship at its best. If you're bored again, do me a favor. Google the Great Seal of California, and tell me what you see on that Great Seal. You're going to see a Roman soldier. Why is a Roman soldier with a big bear and some mountains and ocean? sunny, sandy beaches on the California Sea.
Right.
Because this is a part of Rome's and England's conquered territory.
I'm looking at it now. They got a bear with my man. He got a like a Medusa type of shield. My God, he got like Mayflowers and stuff in the background. The ships. We have a dude hammering on some wood. We got some backgrounds of mountains and the ocean.
But pay attention to the soldier. You see that? See that staff he's holding?
Yeah.
Don't you see that same staff in the courtroom when you walk in there with the eagle sitting on top?
Yeah. Ain't that the, also the flag also has that type of thing on top of it?
Yeah.
Staff-looking thing.
Yeah. That's a Roman. That's an old school. Watch any movie from Rome, any movie from back in those days, and watch their symbolisms. Watch how they have that same staff with the eagle on it. That's a fascism sign, symbol. That represents
now,
fascism. The eagle sits high and looks low. Predator.
Now, I mean, when I go to the court building or I work across the street sometimes at the court building, the federal, I see the three statues of people on above that court building. One I know is the lawgiver, Moses. One is the next one in the middle is a Knights Templar. And the next one is George Jefferson. And why do they pick these three people on the federal court building to hold law? What are these symbols or Masonic things supposed to be meaning? And it's out there all the time. And I just decided to look it up. Like, what's this about? It's all in your face.
Yeah, you're trying to get me in trouble, boy.
This is the real.
But you already said it. It's Masonic symbolism. Courtrooms hold Masonic rituals daily.
Damn.
Daily. So the courtroom is a Masonic meeting room. That's what it is. So those symbols are just telling you, if you're up and you're aware, you know what it is, you're walking into a Masonic building.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
I see how I see that thing.
Okay.
Wow. Now, one more thing, too. Can you be also parking tickets? Because you don't really go to court for a parking ticket. So what's the structure and how did that at work for the last few minutes of our show?
Parking tickets are like the biggest in-hand slap in the face you can receive because it's just so in your face how stupid they think people really are. Because people really don't read. Parking tickets is like, you don't even see a judge with a parking ticket, but you're guilty. where else in the world do you do that? Like, somebody just sends you a bill and you're automatically guilty. Like, where else is that possible?
The person might say, I made a mistake. It said a certain thing, yet I broke the law because I stayed too late over that time. And that's why I had a ticket, and that's why I have to pay the fine. It says it right there, don't park between these hours, and I did. So they automatically program not to say I'm guilty, so that's why I don't need to see a judge.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. The Constitution also says the public roads and the streets belong to the people. The people. You have a right to travel and go to and fro wherever you please constitutionally. There's a case law called Murdoch versus Pennsylvania says where no state may convert a right into a privilege and charge or a tax on that privilege. So they've converted your right to travel, to go to and fro, to park your, or I won't say park because park has a different connotation of meaning than what you may think it may mean, or most people may think it means. And these people play these word games because they know that their words that we speak on a regular day-to-day basis are not what it really means. And like you said, Troy, earlier, in legalese, it doesn't mean the same thing. They have two different dictionaries how they describe things. Webster's dictionary has nothing to do with their law.
Yeah.
So They perverted
you the reason
rights.
Why I got me a Black's Law Dictionary. That
everybody
man,
should have one.
Yeah, that should be in every household. It's like the Constitution
sure.
should be in red if you are an American citizen. That book is crazy. Like, I looked up the word marriage license and just it boggles me. I looked up the word tithing. All you Christians talking about, oh, tithing 10%. No, you're tithing to Europe. It's in the book. I don't have to tell you nothing. You can look it up. But anyway, yeah. So any other books people should get if they want to learn some of this knowledge and also take your course, anything else to prepare them for the system other than Black's Law?
I mean, I can prescribe some books to read, but my thing is always this. People have been claiming they're Christians for 400 years but don't even read the Bible or understand it. So it's kind of like,
damn.
I can tell you what to go do, but is it really going to help you?
Yeah, unless you want to do it and read it and take action. It's not.
No, unless you want to have an outer body experience with it. Like, I mean, look at it from a different angle. Don't look at it from what the pastor said or what your mama said, your grandmama said. Look at it from your point of view and really dissect it in lamest terms. That's what I mean. I can tell you to go get a Black's Law Dictionary, go get a Constitution, go get vehicle codes and penal codes, but then start trying to tie it all together. You're going to get a big headache.
Right.
Because you're not going to
so
know.
So tell people, well, then tell people how they can get this knowledge from you. Where do you locate it? How do they get in contact with you? And how can they get started?
Yeah, we're in Englewood now. We used to be in L.A. on Crenshaw, but we moved to Englewood. It's 520 North La Brea Ave, Suite 107 in Englewood, 90301. So if you want to contact me, you just call our 800 number, 866-920-0768. We're on Facebook, Twitter, all that social media stuff, Instagram. And the website is called CA, as in California abbreviation, Ticketmasters.
Ticketmasters.com, okay. Okay. All right, man. Well, I definitely appreciate the call and giving the knowledge because it's a lot. You know, it's trying to condense
right.
it in less than an hour. It's kind of crazy.
That's why I asked you how long was this show, man. I knew I couldn't get all this out in 1 hour. It's 15 minutes. Again, man. It's impossible. But it's all good.
Definitely appreciate
I got
knowledge.
All of it out.
Right.
No
Thanks
doubt.
For having me, y'all. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you for calling in again.
Yeah. For sure. Hope to do this again.
All right.
Thanks
a lot, man.
All right.
Please.
Wow. Thank
so
you.
There it is.
I mean, I hope you guys learned a lot. I know I did. Show's almost over.
Yeah. This is truth hurts. This is not a fairy tale show, and you know this is very opinionated and very fact oriented too. Also, it's about facts and learning your law and learning and researching stuff. So, some stuff might have stuff that he said might touch a few of y'all the wrong way.
Right,
that's what helps. You know, it stimulates thought.
Right.
So,
Well, yeah, definitely learned a lot. And you guys missed anything for, you know, anyone that made a call in late, you know, just go back and, you know, check out our link. Make sure you guys check the Even Showdown next Sunday with me, Jerron Goof. You know, we're celebrating hip-hop birthday, and you can, you know, follow me at Angelique Bates on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of that. Anyone else want to get their social media?
Troy Da Vinci on Facebook. And,
okay,
cool. Artist Keenan Chapman on Facebook and Instagram.
Yep.
All right.
Thank
y'all. Everybody for tuning in. It is real. Same bat time, same bat channel.